With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's a very special episode of the Puckle Podcast. Yes, it's the penultimate episode before Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are released. Are you ready? Cue the epic music.
And welcome to the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my notorious co-hosts.
Some say, choo-choo, Jushiro.
On the hype train.
And Basket. What's up, Puckle peeps?
Wonderful. And so we're here to bring you the 312th episode of the Puckle Podcast. And as always, we're here to bring you a fantastic show. Puckle stands for, of course. Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name Basket came up with in 2007.
And the Prophet.
The Prophet. And as always, we're going to bring you guys everything Pokemon, whether it be the trading card game like these two guys do twice a month, and the video game, or even, man, let me think of something really out there, Pokemon Shuffle. That's not really out there, but... it's nothing that anybody wants to talk about, let me tell you that much.
It's out there, it's just forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. nobody wants
to. No kidding. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to Cerebi.net.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gone there in a while. And my first reaction when I opened the homepage where the news was like, they're still updating the Pokemon Trophy game that's on the phone.
You're talking about Shuffle. That's exactly what I was just talking about.
Oh, Shuffle. Yeah, they're still updating that thing?
Yeah,
that's
no.
My first reaction.
They just did a whole update for like Alola Pokemon. And so it's nutsos. Forget that. the games that they choose to keep going just blow my mind. It just blows my mind. Like, the things that you think about, like, you think Pokemon, you're just like, yeah, Sun and Moon, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, those are coming out. And you're just like, yeah, the TCG's doing really well. We just had Crimson Invasion. That was a garbage set. And then you had, and then you have something like, you're just like, maybe there's a couple spinoff games there. Like, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, I think, is probably what, if somebody asked me about a Pokemon spinoff game right now, that's the game I would think about. Is Pokemon
Conquest for me, but that was the one.
That Conquest, Conquest didn't sell that well, surprisingly.
I'm not surprised.
I am.
Too many bows in this life that don't appreciate tactical RPGs.
It's not
such
even
as Fire Emblem.
It's not even that. It's like you had a lot of problems. You had stuff like that was the pre-awakening Fire Emblem era too, and that's the era that you had all of the people talking about tactical RPGs is when Awakening came out, because Awakening just blew the doors off of any tactical RPG out there. Yeah, it's stupid. It's stupid. All right, so moving on, though, I want to ask you guys, because it's been a while since both of you were on the show, what have you been up to in Pokemon lately?
TCGing a lot. I'm finally finishing off Moon for the second time.
Have you finished that yet? Because you have, like, a few days, and then the new games come out.
No, I know. I'll finish it probably before Friday. When is the game comes out? I know it's 17. That's a Friday, right?
Yeah, it's on Friday.
Okay, yeah, on Friday. So yeah, before Friday, I'll probably...
Yeah, we got a lot of announcements. Like, we have like a lot of announcements Puckle-wise to go along with that. So, but keep going. We'll make it at like the end of this segment and the end of the next segment, too. So.
But other than that, that's what I've been doing. Just trying to play the game with Pokemon that I've never used in my life. And I found myself enjoying Pokemon that I didn't even thought possible, such as Pelipper. Dude. I'm actually enjoying Pelipper.
Dude, don't even get me started on Pelipper. Like, he did so well this gen. Like, yeah. Good on him. He is one of the top strategies in double battles right now.
Wow.
Because
I hate Pelipper so freaking much.
He is by far the best Drizzle Pokemon right now.
Wow, that's saying something.
I mean, he's got the flying typing, which helps him a lot. I mean, quad weak to electric, but any Drizzle Pokemon, like Politoed, you don't care about, like, you're going to run away from electric types anyway. But yeah. You're immune to Earthquake? Like, on top of that? That's insane.
Yep.
Pelipper's great. It's just great. But yeah, keep going. I'm curious now. I want to hear what you played with.
Yeah, no, I played with Pelipper, with Mark Mordar.
Ooh, okay. I tried that once in Gen 4. That was garbage.
It's I don't know if it's gotten better, but it's fun. It's fun because it's just fun to see him just blow everything away. I've also used Decidua because, of course, everyone uses it, so let me go ahead and try it. I also used what were the other ones? Oh, Salamence, because I had a shiny Salamence in my in my box, and I'm like, hey, I've never used Salamence, and I have a shiny one, so might as well. So I'm using shiny Salamence. And I kind of remember the other two. They're really obscure. I hardly ever use.
No, that's like my favorite way to play though. Like with a new gen, especially, I like to just to play through the game just to get a feeling for base stats. I don't need to look at the numbers, but at least I can look like, no, okay, this can take a few hits. This one can do this. This one can do that. And yeah, I don't know. What about you, Basket? What have you been up to lately? I've seen you around in the community more often.
Yeah, I've been grinding the heck out of some Battle Tree.
Oh, man, which, I'm excited.
Super, super late to be doing that. But as everyone knows who listens to the show at all, I do a crap load of Nuzlocke all the time. By the end of that just, like, crazy ride, whenever you beat the Elite Four, it's... You know, it can't be with, you know, six IV Pokemon or anything like that. You know, it's just whatever the heck you get. And that doesn't lend itself very well to the battle tree because you end up with, like, weird type combinations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, for the first time, legitimately got into breeding to try and start... being able to basically run through the battle tree as quickly as possible. So I always go in the battle tree with Mega Salamence with Dragon Dance, Earthquake, Dragon Claw, and Double Edge.
Oh no, dude!
Because
yeah,
if you can get a Dragon Dance up and you have Double Edge, you just keep clicking the win button, you know?
Yes. No. Did you ever listen to the PuckleCon show from 2015? I think it was. It was the first PuckleCon, because that's when we went to Nationals and like we were all playing in the side events, and there was one particular, like we were all playing, to the point that, what is it? We were all playing Pokemon. And we were all in this OU tournament, not an OU tournament, but a singles tournament. And there was just this kid that brought Mega Salamence, and we were all prepared for OU. And Mega Salamence is banned there. And so like we're all prepped for OU. We go in there, this kid just sweeps us all with this Mega Salamence. We just can't do anything. And we're all just like, forget this game. I'm not playing if Mega Salamence is here.
he is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In a good way, if you have him, and in a really bad way, if you don't. basically, if Mega Salamence gets taken out, then I have Kartana with Leaf Blade, Sacred Sword, Smart Strike, and Aerial Ace with a Life Orb.
So, what Aerial Ace? I feel like I wouldn't do Aerial Ace.
So the reason why I have Aerial Ace and also Smart Strike instead of a better move?
No, no, no. Smart Strike's way better. Smart Strike's fantastic. Like, I think that's a good choice.
Yeah. Well, I picked both of those because there's a lot of Pokemon that will double team the heck out of you.
That's right.
So I have Smart Strike and Aerolace for those reasons. Anything that's Smart Strike's not going to hit for at least effective damage, Aerolace probably will.
Yeah, Flying's a good type, actually. Flying's actually really good.
Yeah. And then I hate flying. And then my last one, who's basically there just to cover my weaknesses, but is just awesome, is so I love Arcanine. Arcanine's been one of my favorite Pokemon since Gen 1. But holy crap, Flamethrower, Morning Sun, Will-O-Wisp, and Snarl with Leftovers, that thing, it tanked and killed a Vaporeon with Surf.
With Snarl, right?
Because, yeah, I just kept snarling the shit out of it, or the crap out of it, and then Morning Sun to make it so that it would, get the health back, and then it would just started just tiny chipping away at me, and I had this thing almost down to probably 20% health, and then all of a sudden it surf critted, and it killed me. I was so upset, but still, Arcanine. It was long. It was like 15 extra turns because of Arcanine, and then it crits.
No, Arcanine's surprisingly bulky. Like Arcanine, I don't know how well you guys follow Draft League. But I picked up Arcanine like around week 5 as like my only drop. And I brought Arcanine up to being like 4th place on the MVP list. Wow. Like as soon as I picked it up. It had a four week handicap. So it's off by 4 weeks. Like if I would have had it the first 4 weeks, it probably would have done a ton more. And I was sitting there and just like, why didn't I pick it up? Because I originally had Darmanitan in that slot. And I just Darmanitan doesn't suit my playstyle. And I dropped Darmanitan and picked up Arcanine. I'm like, man, who took Arcanine before I got to Darmanitan? And I was looking through the draft list and how everything was drafted. And I'm like, Arcanine was there when I drafted Darmanitan. What is wrong with me? I should have just picked up Arcanine. And so lessons learned for future draft leagues. Pick up Arcanine before Darmanitan. And
well, there are a lot of powerhouse fire types fire dual types as well. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't super surprise me that people didn't pick him up just because there's so many good other typings with that. So, but at the same time, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was like, I just couldn't believe it. Myself, I haven't been doing much Pokemon wise. Like I got slammed with work this past week. And I've been doing a lot of prep work for this upcoming week because I have to do like 3 podcasts next week. Isn't that fun? I mean, I guess it is to some extent. It's my hobby, right? So,
it's your job, and you know it.
Yeah, I mean, I wish to some extent. But then at the same time, like, I don't know. If this was my job, I feel like I'd end up hating it, and I don't want to hate Puckle, right? But. Yeah. Either way, I have to do 3 podcasts. I've been getting that geared up because we have like a lot of content coming in the next week because Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon drop. Shamu and I are still working on a streaming schedule for next weekend. We're like going off script next weekend due to the release because I can't play Battle Spot right now on stream because the global link's gone. And so I don't want to like do that and just like sit there and wait for challengers on Thursday night. I'm going to the midnight release anyway, so I'm going to go pick up the game. Either me or Shamu is going to stream after the midnight launch. And we're just gonna play some good old Pokemans on stream for a few hours. I'm gonna stream like that night, and then on Saturday we're all doing the live show together on Twitch around 2 p.m. Eastern. So be there or be square while we all talk about our Pokemon experiences in Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Yeah,
And then on top of that, I have to pre-record the episode for the week after that because it's the holidays. And that's when things start to get nutsos around Puckle. I have to do a bunch of work for I pre-record so many episodes. Last year it got so out of sync. I had like so many shows like pre-recorded for the holidays that I didn't know which episode number I was on during the regular week because I was just like, "Oh, I just recorded 297 last week." It's just like, "Well, 297 or maybe not 297, whatever it was. I recorded this episode, like, I recorded that 3 weeks before it came out, so the next episode in my head was 298, but it was like 295. And so that's a pain, but I mean, played some TCG. I had some fun with that. I've been working with a couple different decks.
Nice.
We talked about the Darkrai deck last time we talked Basket? No, we talked about Galissapod. I've been playing Galissapod. I've also been playing around with this Darkrai GX deck for funsies, because that deck's a lot of fun. And I've been working on it with Zoroarks and stuff like that. But video game wise, I've been getting teams together. Piddle, obviously, I just did my draft league match. Came out victorious due to technicalities. And
best way to win.
Yeah, right. So that means I win my division. That's great. You know what the best part of winning my division is? I get a bye week. like that's like the only reason I wanted to win that match was so I could get a bye week. I could take a week off from Piddle. That's all I wanted. Because we're working on the next one, the thing after Piddle, because Piddle was so successful. Like even people that aren't playing in Piddle are actually interested in Piddle. And so we're trying to come up with like the next thing for that, and because we don't want to like jump into Piddle season two, that's a lot of work. We're going into a smaller season of we're doing a multi battle league, which is going to be a lot of fun. I encourage literally anybody to play in that. We're going to be doing the announcement video for it sometime in the next week or two for YouTube. You have to be subscribed, find it, and you'll get the announcement, and you can sign up for it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with multi battle league, but it's essentially draft league. But what happens is you have a partner as well. Mm. So you have and you do double battles, multi double battles. It's 2v2 people. So that opens up a lot of things. One, you get an extra mega on each side. And two, you get an extra Z move on each side. So like it's just nuts. It doesn't even make any sense. It's going to be so broken.
It breaks all the rules.
Like I'm so excited for it because I think Shamu and
Mass
I are playing.
It's living together. Mass hysteria.
No, literally anybody. I encourage literally anybody to play this with us, just because I don't care if you know competitive or not. Just bring Pokemon and like just do whatever you want. It's probably going to be semi successful. Like, no joke. I mean,
at the very least, it's going to be funny.
Yeah, it's going to be funny at least. And I mean, I think we're only letting in like 8 teams unless people surprise us. So
yeah,
it's going to be a blast though. I do encourage people to do that. But we've rambled long enough, so that's it for the intro segment. We're gonna go to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And on to the news. In the news, we have a few things. The first thing is minor things. Shiny Silvally codes are going to be over tomorrow in the United States, or today in the United States. I forget this comes out on Monday.
Yeah.
So Shiny Silvally codes are coming out on Monday, or they're going to be gone. So go get them while you can, guys. Go get them while you can. Unless you live in Spain, it goes until the 16th. Every other country that is not America... or Australia, it looks like, goes until the 16th, right up until the launch of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
Yeah.
So go get them while you can if you want a shiny Silvally. And you don't want a soft reset. There you go. That's all there is to it. My wife got really excited about it. Korokoro leaked today, which revealed that if you live in Japan and you buy a lot of toys, you can get some codes for, it looks like, Manaphy, Meloetta, and Hoopa.
Woo!
Yeah, right? But you have to live in Japan, and you have to buy toys. So
I remember I used to be excited for mythical Pokemon. Now it's like, oh, I have like my Mew number 27th Mew.
Well,
that's great.
Okay, so like for us, I'd say that is 100% true. For somebody like, I don't know, somebody getting into the game, probably not.
No,
so
for
much.
Sure. I'm not badging
like,
it.
I thought last year was fantastic with how they did a mythical a month, and I hope we get more years like that like in the future.
Probably, I hope so too.
Probably in like 4 more years when it's the 25th anniversary. That's like a division of like 100, and people like the number 25. You get celebrations for that.
And yeah.
We'll get something. We're going to get something for that. And we'll see what it is though.
We're spoiled as heck, so they better give us something.
I think they absolutely will. I think they'll absolutely give us something. I don't know what that something will be, but they'll give us something. All right. So moving on, though, out of this. So they announced if you attach your game to the global link before, I believe, January 30th, you will receive a special serial code to give yourself an extra Master Ball. So check that out, especially with it. Well, I don't want to make any announcements on. I almost dropped spoilers. That might have been sad for some people.
Oh yeah, do that.
Because,
Fluffy might be listening.
Well, you should get an extra Master Ball.
Hi, Fluffy.
Yeah, you should get an extra Master Ball. I was close there. They also announced all of the missions for Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, the festival missions.
Yeah.
So it says. The first mission has been announced in this mission. Players have to collectively capture 10 million Pokemon by November 28th. So I'm I'm happy that I think they're doing it before the they're actually starting the festival mission when the game comes out.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic because that they did like a catch Pokemon like a week after the game came out last time. And that was so lackluster because none of us cared about catching Pokemon. We had already finished our Pokedexes. And so I'm really excited for this one because I can actually contribute.
It's another mission that we're probably gonna lose. So
10 million, I think that's doable with people with everybody like trying to complete the decks. I think that's doable. If everyone succeeds, then a gift of 2,000 festival coins will be given to all players. If it's not achieved, then 1,000 festival coins will be given to all the players. That's still a decent reward, honestly.
Yeah.
Rewards are doubled for players with a Global Link account. They also announced the schedule. They didn't do this the last time either. They have a schedule of the events now. We have December 12th to 27th, have fun Mantine surfing. The January 9th to 23rd, win at the Battle Agency, which I want to talk about some more during the topic today. The Battle Agency I'm so hyped for. And then February 6th to 20th, harvest Poke Beans. So enthralling. March 6th to the 20th, trade Pokemon at the GTS. That one's kind of exciting. April 3rd to 17th, hatch a lot of eggs. May 1st to 15th, get battle points at the battle tree. June 5th to 19th, play in the festival plaza. Blah, blah, blah. All right. But that's, I mean, that's still really cool. They also announced the next battle season, which is going to be, I believe, Alola Dex. Yeah, it's Alolan Pokedex. And yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just single battle version of what VGC was this year.
Okay.
All right. That one's not nearly exciting. Pokken Tournament got a patch.
What?
Yeah, I know. It got a patch. It allows you to play team battle matches online. Yeah, I know. It allows you to
play. Tell me more, Thatch, about this patch for Pokken.
Wow. You're going to be really underwhelmed. So the patch was scheduled to come some point in mid-November. Guess what? It's mid-November. Then so it allows you to play team battle matches online, and it also allows you to reach higher ranks in ranked match. Yay. Wow. Yep. And added the recording feature to free training that lets you manipulate and record your playback of your opponent's move for better training. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fighting game guy. So
me neither.
I don't know. Pokken was fun.
Smash.
Yeah. Smash is like, I feel like a super casual version of, it's like an everyman's fighting game.
Yeah,
because who doesn't want to like be Pikachu beating up on Mario, right? And I think Smash is in a league of its own. Dude, Mario is fun too. Like I don't know. Like I can play Smash. I can play Smash because there aren't like combos and stuff. I feel like the learning curve for Smash, like there's definitely like a higher peak, but like the early learning curve is very quick. But when you get to something like Pokken, it's not as quick. You actually have to grind and learn.
Yeah.
Headbutt with Pikachu. Dodge
yeah. Yeah, just headbutt. Headbutt with Pikachu. And so Basket and I were talking before the show today, and there is a in Singapore, they have now released the code to get the Ash Hat Pikachu, the original Ash Hat Pikachu. It is Pikachu M20. Okay, so it's in Singapore. So catch this.
Legitly response. It's not that, I wasn't even faking that one.
No, so catch this, Jushiro. It's in Singapore, and this is a different code than what we got for the Ash Hat Pikachu. The code we got was just Pikachu 20. This is Pikachu M20, right?
Ooh.
So it's in Singapore. Singapore doesn't have a region associated with it like the U.S. does and North America and Japan does. It is actually available in the U.S. because some of the 3DSs in Singapore are North American 3DSs. So right now you can go and just type in Pikachu M20 and get a Nash at Pikachu if you missed out on the first one.
Oh, that's exciting. I did miss out. I got my Alolan version, but I didn't
get I got the Alolan version. I didn't get the original one. And I'm just really upset that we only got one apiece. The other thing that we got, you guys didn't get. I got, because I went to the movie last week. I got the QR code though for the Ash at Pikachu from the movie. But it only works in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I learned, as my wife and Beaverla told me. I was about to do it, and they're just like, no, you can't. I'm like, I don't believe you.
Oh, I think Really V got me one of those codes.
Yeah, I've got a couple. I mean, it's the same QR code on every card. I mean, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you guys, and it'll work just as well.
Yeah. The thing that I'm excited about that for, though, is that all the other Ash Hat Pikachus, you have to, like, finish something or complete something in order to get
them. No, and you don't. That's not true. You could just type in the last one, too. If you were just on Pikachu 20.
Yeah.
Pikachu 20, oh, yeah.
I mean, I think
I missed that one.
And the other one that exists in the U.S. at least is just a QR code, but it doesn't work for Sun and Moon. It only works for Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. So on Friday, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you guys. And then you get yourself Ash at Pikachu in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon for funsies.
Nice.
Apparently something happens in the Pikachu location in that game with the Ash at Pikachu. This is a rumor I heard from an interview. This isn't a spoiler. Okay.
Okay.
I have looked at the leaks, but I didn't look at anything about that. I've tried to stay away from story spoilers for the most part. All right. So I think that's all of the news I want to hit, because there's some other news. Puckle news, I will once again say, come to the live show at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast next week at 2 p.m. Eastern. We're all going to be hanging out, talking about Pokemon, and talking about our first impressions of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. Come to the stream whenever during that day, because I think between Shamu and I, we're going to be streaming a ton of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon next weekend.
Yeah,
it's going to be a blast. I'm super excited.
The hype. Can't freaking wait.
Yeah, right? The hype is going to be intense. And I mean, I don't know what else to say. You can preload the games now.
Which I already did.
Yeah. And other Puckle news. If you want to do more stuff with us, you're more than welcome. I want to officially announce that we're doing the Puckle 10 live stream. I have neglected to say this the past few weeks. We are doing a Puckle 10 live stream on December 31st. That is the 10th anniversary of Puckle. We are going to be doing a 24-hour live stream. We haven't quite figured out the start time yet. It's probably going to be around noon on the 31st, and then it's going to go until noon on the 1st of January.
Okay.
And we're going to be raising money for Child's Play, the charity Child's Play, which gives video games to kids in hospitals.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, I really wanted to, I wanted this to celebrate, but at the same time, give back.
Yeah.
So if you want to help out with that, guys, I think I want to try to shoot for $500 for Child's Play. Definitely come to the stream, hang out with us. We're going to have some cool stuff going on. And I think it includes cooking malasadas.
Yay!
So, yeah. Somebody should dress up like Hao and just nom on those malasadas. But it's going to – yeah, no, we're working on all the technicalities to make this a reality, huge, big, fun stream. So – definitely watch out for that on the 31st. I think we're also going to do the premiere of the documentary, the Puckle documentary, on the stream as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the progress in that?
It's happening. It's working.
Okay.
Ethan and I have been in constant communication about it. It's going on. He said he'll have it ready by the 10th anniversary. So,
nice.
It will be ready. I mean, it'll be perfect because it's like a 20-minute break for me during the middle of the stream. I can just be like, let's play this video. I'm going to go get food.
You're taking as much many breaks as you can.
Absolutely. I'm scheduling so many because I ran PuckleCon and I know how just being on for 24 hours is awful.
Yeah.
So as many breaks as I can take, I'm going to do. Though streaming is a lot more fun, I think, than PuckleCon. PuckleCon's still fun. But I enjoy so much not having to be on the entire time. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, all right. So that's going to be it for the news, guys. We're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz. We're going to quiz your co-hosts on their innate Pokemon knowledge. and on to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the segment of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. Of course, that means no internet, guys. You got to use what's in your heads. So you guys are going to get 5 questions today. You have 1 hint to use for all of the questions. Now, if you get all of the questions correct, that just means I get to press the button that gives you the correct noise. So the one question that has a bonus point, you don't need to get the bonus point. You can cash that hint in at the end for an extra point if you want. You can try for that. But if you get a question wrong, you might as well just use the hint. So if you guys are ready, we're going to jump right into it. We have a host of questions provided by fans. So are you guys ready?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's fail real hard.
All right, I almost lost the questions. Okay, so here we go. Question number 1. In the anime, what professor is the only one not named after a tree? In the anime, what is the only professor not named after a tree?
Oh my god.
This one should be pretty easy.
I don't watch the anime.
You've never watched the anime?
I mean, I have, but I don't, like, keep up with it.
If you ever watched the anime, you would know the answer.
I don't remember a professor that wasn't from the games.
I also can give... You can use your hint, I guess, if you want.
Oh, man. Very first question.
They're not in any particular order. Yeah. You all fall for this every time. You're just like, it's the first question. I don't want to use my hint.
Do any of the... like main characters become professors, Jushiro?
There's some that are aiming to be professors, but I don't recall.
Who's aiming to be a professor?
I mean, Bianca, she's a sip, but she became an assistant. I don't recall a nun. Yeah, I just don't recall.
I'm going to need an answer. Okay.
Yeah, go.
So Brock really likes this professor. Like, that should be a good hint. So much so that he ends up living with her.
Oh, my God. It's not Juniper, because obviously Juniper is...
Season
tree,
2.
Right?
There's another hint. Season 2.
Season 2...
is a tree.
Season 2, Brock lives with her. I
Orange Islands.
I knew it has to be Orange Islands because I just don't recall her name at all, or her face, or the existence of her ever existing.
Professor Sarah.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Yes.
That is unfortunately incorrect. The correct answer is Professor Ivy. She was studying all of the Pokemon in the Orange Islands.
Yeah,
and
no
she's
recollection
named after
of her
Ivy. Man, I can't believe that. This is like early Pokemon anime. Okay,
you can stop now. Okay, not to throw the gutter.
Okay, so
like, man, I can't believe you guys are such losers and don't know this answer.
So that first question was from what's his face, Claude 9. So this next question is going to come to you from Lamp, or L A M P C. So this one's worth 2 points. This has the bonus point.
I'm
and this one should
blacklist.
Be
every time I get a question I don't know, I'm
this
gonna
one,
blacklist this.
This one should be right up your guys' alleys. It's TCG based. Okay.
This is why
right.
We're gonna lose.
So during the Guardians Rising pre-release, what were the promo cards for the pre-release? I only need 2 of them. There were 4. What were the promo
Guardian
cards?
Guardian Rising?
Guardians Rising. I'll also give you a hint for this one if you need it. Because I understand it's back in the past. It's all the way back in May.
Dude, that's like 10 years in TCG. at the pace they move.
Right.
I think there was some Alolan. I think Alolan... Either Alolan Persian? There was a few Alolans. Help me here, Basket. I don't participate in pre-releases.
Okay, it was Guardians Rising, right?
Yes.
Remind me some of the ones that we got.
Oh,
out of
the the coral Pokemon.
Oh,
I think that was Corsola was one of them, I think. Salus, the normal Salazzle, I think. The non GX, obviously, they're never going to be GX for the pre-releases. But help me here. I'm shooting at the dark, really, because I really don't remember and I don't participate in pre-releases. I'm just going with that. From that set, what it could possibly be.
So I think Salazzo's one of them. I know there's one of them that were do call for family because they always do, and it has to be either the coral Pokemon. I keep forgetting its name. What's going wrong with me today?
Corsola. Oh,
Corsola. Thank you. Corsola Cola. How can I keep forgetting that name? But no, that's as much as I can have. I have. I don't remember any water ones.
When was the Tapu Koko promo?
That would have been just before Guardians Rising came out.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah. It's not one of those either. Should we just stop?
I'm going to need answers. I need two of them.
Yeah. Okay, so Salazzo and
Kamala or Corsola?
Corsola. And maybe, I don't know. I'm just going to throw it. Let's do those two. Salazzo and Corsola.
All right. Unfortunately, that is incorrect on both accounts. The answer, so it was a Drampa, a Dragon-type Drampa. Oricorio, the one that does the, I believe, Revelation Dance, like the one that's like, everybody was like super excited about Vespiquen, and it's just like, nobody plays Vespiquen. And then
it's a basket.
Yeah. And then you have the Alolan Sandslash.
And you're the Alolan there.
And Mudsdale.
There we go. Yep. Fail!
Yeah. All right. So we were talking about Pokemon Conquest earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you remember Pokemon Conquest, Yushiro. If not, this question from Linian is going to make you sad.
I'm sure it will.
This is all you, bro.
In Pokemon Conquest, what is the name of the character that has Rayquaza?
I hate you so much.
I'll accept a character description as well.
I think it's the main antagonist. What was his name?
There's a Japanese game based off of him. Like a Japanese game series that Pokemon Conquest was based on.
It's the guy, the I forgot his name. He's an actual historical character which has a name.
I'll accept that as an answer.
Okay. Then let me use the last 40 seconds to see if I can remember his name.
Wait, what did you say, Basket?
Nobunaga,
yes!
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct. We're going to give you guys a point today.
It's Japanese history. That's all I know.
And so, that's good. That got you 1 point now. You guys are on the board today.
Yeah.
So question number 4. Now, this one's kind of open-ended because I think it has about 20 answers.
Oh, great. We're going to choose the non-20 ones.
So... That's about 20 answers, and I only need one of them.
Okay. If we give you 20, will you give us 20 points?
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. Because you guys got screwed over by Lampic, I will give you guys a chance to redeem yourselves. And if you give me 2 answers that satisfy this question, I will give you an extra point.
Woo!
All right. So I need you to name a Pokemon that cannot defeat Shininja with any of the moves it knows, including Hidden Power, because some Pokemon just can't learn Hidden Power. So,
okay, what Pokemon cannot learn Hidden Power? Unknown.
Unknown's only move is Hidden Power.
It's the only move it has.
I was starting out about ones that can't learn it because they can't learn it.
But it has. It's fine. It's fine.
That's all I'm saying. So,
I mean, Ditto, if it changes into Shininja, I mean, I just don't know Shininja's moveset all that well.
Also, Pokemon that only know Normal-type moves. Like, think about that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can think of some really early on in the Pokedex.
Snorlax, I guess. Raticate, no. Raticate knows Bite.
No, it's like, because...
any Pokemon. Like, even, like, the baby versions of Pokemon.
Ooh, Tauros. Does Tauros was one of them?
What?
I think Tauros only learns normal, right?
I thought he learned Pursuit, but I could be wrong.
I think he learns Pursuit.
Why am I helping? This is not as easy. This is not as easy as it sounds.
I feel so bad. Just go through the Pokedex, and you're going to find some right at the beginning.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm just helping you guys real hard here today.
It's not Raticate. It's not Pidgey or Pidgeotto line. It's
It's, you're like in the region. It's around there.
Oh my god! What other freaking normal types are in early
in red
game?
And blue? What are some of the first Pokemon you can catch?
It's Caterpie. Weedle.
What kind of moves does Caterpie know?
String, but he evolves. Oh, it doesn't matter if it evolves. I can just say.
Wait, actually,
that one Pokemon.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter if it evolves. I mean, yeah, no, I'm talking about any Pokemon. Yeah, it doesn't matter if.
Oh,
it evolves.
Well, then okay, that fixes your train of thought. The evolutions.
Caterpie, even that Metapod. Caterpie and Metapod.
Caterpie and Metapod. I can give you a Magikarp for the love of God. You know, there's so.
There
many
you go. I'll accept it. I'll accept it. I'm gonna give you guys a point. I think Caterpie technically can, only because I think it learns Bug Bite. Let me double check. But Magikarp works. So, worst case, you've got Magikarp. So you got that. Let me double check. Caterpie technically learns Bug Bite at level 9.
Okay, what's
wait,
what's
no, the, wait, it's only super effective moves. So Bug Bite, yeah, no, Caterpie counts. Never mind.
Oh, there we go. 2 points.
Counts. There you go. 2 points. There you go. Yay! I'll give you 2 points. That gives you guys 3 for today. All right, so
we can end here. Stop.
Well, you got one more question. I don't take the points away.
It's too early, and I don't have the opportunity to be inebriated for this.
As always, I ask you guys a base stat question, which I'm randomly generating right now.
Of course you are.
Because I had a heck of a week. So we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the Pokemon Sun and Moon Pokedex. We're going to look at the stat known as Special Defense. And you're going to tell me am I going to go with that one? What poison type Pokemon has the highest base special defense?
Okay. Poison type. All right.
What are the omegas?
Bulky poison types. Base special defense.
Base special defense.
Okay. It can be a Toxapex, maybe.
Includes megas, remember. So
it does include megas, yes. But
start with the megas. What megas do we know that are poison and special defense?
Not
even remember. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think the only poison one I can really think of is Mega Beedrill and
Oh, that's right, but that's not special defense. Yeah, anyway, no, not Megas, so wow, special defense. Coffin. What about Coffin? Coffin has high defense, but I don't think it has high special defense. Wheezing, of course, is what I meant.
And okay, thank God. I heard coughing and I was just like
stop it.
I love you guys are just you're probably the most entertaining Poke Quiz I've ever had.
Let me see here.
TCG nerds okay, here.
Poison.
Yeah, Weezing, we got
Weezing's all about defense.
Yeah. I guess. I don't remember any
I'm gonna need an answer.
I'm gonna need an answer.
Best guess is probably and they're all ones that are playable now, right? It's none of the...
Yeah, all of them, yeah.
Yeah. No are Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
Are there any poison UBs?
Oh, yeah. The first one, the Nihilego.
Oh, right, yeah.
Want to choose that one? Sounds bulky. Looks bulky. Looks special defense-y, wow.
I'm worried about... I think it's Toxapex.
Okay.
If I'm being honest.
Well, I'll go with you, man. I'm clueless.
All right. Toxapex.
That is correct. Yes. Toxapex has a base special defense of 142. You were thinking Nihiligo, which is actually the second bulkiest poison type special defense wise.
Oh, yes.
It is base 131. So like that was still a good guess, Jushiro. So you guys did well though there. You guys got all of the you got that question. So that's 4 points for you guys.
We got saved hard.
4 points for you guys. Let me go ahead and add in those scores real quick. I'm going to turn off my soundboard real quick. But good job to you guys. Of course, this is a race to the first to 30, and we're going to announce the score here in a second once Shamu I pull it
29.
Up. Shamu's not at 29, thankfully. He is ahead of you guys, but not by much not anymore. Not by much. So let me add these in right here. Now, I do have to say who is currently winning by technicality, but do not just take it with a grain of salt while I do it. So we're going to sort it. All right. So in first place right now, we have Team I Choose You, which consists of my wife, Mrs. T, and Beaver Law. They were on last week. They got double points, and they got all the questions correct.
Of course, so, they get best treatment.
Yeah, because they'll never be on their show again. And then... So in real first place, we have Dr. Shamu with 13 points. We have Basket and Jushiro tied for second place with 9 points. Sublime, Scrawn, and Viger all tied for fifth place with 5 points. Maximus and Whimsicott are tied for eighth place with 4 points. And Snag and Gator are tied for 10th with 1 point. Everybody else has yet to get on the board. So, I mean, it's still a close race. I mean, Shamu's not there. You guys are within, you know, biting distance of his heels. So keep that up.
I'm coming for your heels.
And I think everybody that shows up to the live show next week gets a point anyway, so.
Nice. I have my show today, this week, so.
Oh, and then you get another point. Oh, my gosh, Basket, you should be on that show so you can keep up. And all right, so that is going to be it for, should I start giving myself trivia points every week for knowing the answer?
No. The host does not participate. That's not how it works.
All right, so that's going to be it for this week of Pokles Poke Quiz. We're going to take a short break, guys, and we'll be right back at you with the topic.
Hey, guys, it's Bosifus, and if you're wanting to know how you can be more involved with the Puckle Podcast in between shows, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where you'll find information on all of our social medias. Also, we have a chat box there where you can come meet up, chat with us. On the second Monday of every month, we have a chat box meetup. Good way to get a free 6IV ditto. All of that is at PucklePodcast.com, and if you want to email to the show, it's PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Catch you on the flip-flop.
And on to the topic. Our topic today is going to be the recent trailers for Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. First off, let's just talk about... So I saved this topic for two reasons. One, I wanted to talk about the Pokemon movie last week in real time with people who I went to see it with, because it was also like a day off for me, Puckle-wise. Yeah. But I still gave you guys an episode, so that's something, right? And... So, but I also wanted to wait for this new trailer that was supposed to drop last Friday. And unfortunately, that trailer was incredibly disappointing because all we got was the official announcement for Mimikyu Z-Move, which is Let's Snuggle Forever?
Yeah.
What
is this? Not creepy at all.
Yeah, and it's really weird. The Mimikyu like covers the Pokemon with its cloth. That it's fairy type, and it looks like it's going to be somewhat usable. So... Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes, because typically like these moves are higher base power than some of the equivalents if you were just to use like a Ferium Z or a Ghostium Z, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same like that happened with Spirit Shackle and Decidueye and stuff like that. So you typically get something that's a little bit higher base power. So I mean, Ferium Z Mimikyu is running VGC right now, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Let's Snuggle Forever Mimikyu in VGC.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's stupid.
It's more interesting than the trailer itself, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely not worthy of its own trailer. I will say that 1,000 times, especially after looking at the spoilers. There's definitely things they could have put in there. There's definitely things they could have been in there. So let's move on, though. Let's talk about the one that we got before, the 2 weeks ago. It is...
Yes!
Dude, this one's got all the stuff in it. This one's got... first, let's talk about it. Team Rainbow Rocket, which is all of the bad guys from Forever, all in one team that are going to try to take over the world.
Yeah, the dimensions or something like that.
Yeah, and there were actually interviews about this recently as well, where they confirmed that all of these leaders come from dimensions in which they were successful.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, this sounds like spoiler stuff.
No, this isn't spoilers. This came from an interview.
Okay.
A recent interview from Omori.
Also, they weren't stopping those where they come from. Makes total sense.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
They actually come from universes in which they were successful, which is really interesting because it's going to change the way that you actually talk to them and stuff like that, and you interact with them. So that's really cool. I'm really looking forward to that. And it's gonna be so cool. I'm looking forward to the story because I think the biggest thing from that trailer, the one thing that I took away from it, was Giovanni with Mewtwo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
I think that was huge. And I mean, I haven't delved like too deep into story spoilers. I'm kind of hoping, fingers crossed, that in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, we get some kind of mythical that becomes demythical, kind of like we got Deoxys and Oraz.
Yeah.
You know, with some kind of post-game story. And this would be, I assume... To some extent, our version of the Delta episode.
That's what I thought. So the moment I saw them, honestly,
maybe just at the end they just make it Mewtwo or something. You know, maybe
it's like, will I finally get Mewtwo in his armor?
No, absolutely not.
I don't think so.
You'll never get that. That's like anime exclusive nonsense, and we'll never get anything like that, or Ash Greninja, or you know, Ash Hat Pikachu. And
like, none of that stuff.
Nothing anime has ever leaked into the main game.
It's not like we're getting a new Lycanroc for a form that only in the anime or something like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Let's not even get started about Dusk Form Lycanroc. Like the amount of like exclusive anime stuff they started putting in these games has just been absurd in the past few years.
And what I find it ridiculous is that how coy they still are with the whole not naming Ash in the game. Like when you get Greninja on the demo, you get that card, that letter from this mysterious person who just forgot to sign the letter. It's like, dude, it's Ash. It's okay. You can say his name. He's not Voldemort for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly. No, I feel like they just don't want to say anything because they themselves don't understand what the canon is. Honestly, I don't think they understand like how the universes work right now, and I think they just kind of put stuff together and it works, right? It's a very much thing like prior to the Hyrule Historia and the Zelda fandom, like you look trying to piece together these timelines and everything that was hotly contested until the Hyrule Historia came out. Just wait, we're gonna get some. There was an official timeline a few years ago, I believe, when X and Y dropped for Pokemon games, so.
Yeah,
we'll see we read it. It was very basic, though. It was more in the lines like, if it's Gen 1 through 5, it's one universe, and then Gen 6 and all. It's
That wasn't the official dropped one. They never talk about different universes, though. I think they've started to hint at it more with Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. Yeah. But in terms of timelines, like Red and Blue take place at the same time as Ruby and Sapphire. Diamond and Pearl take place at the same time as Gold and Silver. I believe Black and White and Black and White 2 are in their own universe, or like in their own like little pocket.
Timeline.
But afterwards, Black and White 2 takes place 2 years after that. And then you have Gen 6 now, which apparently is taking place at the same time as Gen 3, which means it's taking place at the same time as Gen 1. So the timeline's all kind of screwed up. But that's when they started introducing like...
And that doesn't make any sense technology-wise either, because they're obviously more advanced.
Well, if you look at Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, I think they started hinting at a way to get around that instead of making Gen 6 take place at the same time as Gen 1. This Hoenn takes place in a different universe than the original Hoenn.
Yeah.
So that... they hinted that very heavily in the Delta episode.
Evolutions, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see more things like that get revealed, though, in the Team Rocket, like, episode, like the Rainbow Rocket episodes. I would really like to see that. I don't know. I think that's an avenue they could go and explore and, like, just keep having these, like, Delta episode sequences in all of the, like, second games in every generation, I guess, now.
Yeah.
And, it would be interesting. It would be something to look forward to every generation. And I think they understand that. And I would also – it would be really cool if, like, you could catch Mew at the end of this one. Right, like you defeat Team Rocket, and it's like, oh, there's a Mew because here's a Mew. We used Mewtwo and we cloned it, you know.
Oh, that would be amazing. You get into the room where he's being held, then you can let it go.
Yeah, no, it'd be really cool. If there's like an encounter with a Mewtwo at the end, and I think this is an excellent opportunity for this
against Mewtwo. That would be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. There's a ton of things that they could do here, and I hope they don't mess it up. I'm gonna find out in like a, a week from today, and I hope it's not messed up.
I hope so too.
All right, so let's move on. I want to talk about some of the things that are like the next big thing that they announced in this trailer was the Battle Agency. I am so stoked for Battle Agency. I want to stream the crap out of it. So I know you guys. You guys don't play Pokemon competitively entirely. I know Basket's getting into it right now, and. Yeah. And so this is an excellent opportunity to like learn competitive. But it's still fun. You're still getting into battling in the video game. So the best thing here is Battle Agency is essentially the Battle Factory from the original Battle Frontier. Now, Battle Factory in the original Battle Frontier, there used to be 7 facilities, was probably the best facility out of Battle Frontier.
Okay.
Because it did not require you to use your own Pokemon. It was all rental Pokemon.
Okay.
It's fantastic. And so that's the idea here, is that you get rental Pokemon from the Battle Agency. The Battle Agency also increases the number of Pokemon you could rent based on how many people you interact with in the Festival Plaza. So that helps out as well. But you essentially rent 3 Pokemon at a time. You battle people, and then in between battles, you can swap out Pokemon.
So this is basically a version of what's the game you guys are playing all the time?
Oh, Draft League? Yeah. Kind of. Not entirely, but to an extent. I will say to an extent. It's also a really good way just to get into battling, because you can get the feel of Pokemon. You get some sample movesets and stuff like that. So
I'm a little worried about the Ivies and Eevees deal, though.
Not last time, but in the original version for the Ivies and Eevees, it would get ranked up as, like, you would get more powerful Ivies mm-hmm. on Pokemon. And I believe the Eevee spreads are pretty much 252, 252.
Okay.
If you get there. So you typically get maxed out stats. So, I mean, again, like, this is like an introduction. I wouldn't say this is the end, like, the end all be all of competitive Pokemon, right? Yeah. There's definitely still, like, tweaks and stuff you can make to Pokemon. So, yeah, I'm super excited. This is going to be exciting.
I wish it was more exciting, but to be completely honest, I'm one of those that never really participated in anything that is, like, yeah, like the Battle Frontier, the Tower, things. I just never got into those.
Well, to be fair, I think Battle Tree and Battle Mason in the past 2 iterations have been super, super letdowns.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of just going in and battling, you know, against AI. I really like doing these little twists. Like, Battle Factory was a lot of fun. There were a lot of little twists that they did to Battle Factory. Yeah. Or to
I really like the Battle Frontier because it was like, oh, an amusement park, and then you get badges mm-hmm. as well. And that motivated me to play some of those. But that was so long ago, I barely remember it.
Exactly. And so we've all wanted Battle Frontier so we could get that back to some extent.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're just giving us one facility right now, which is the Battle Factory. They're bringing it back.
They
to
better
an
step up their game for Gen 8.
I don't know. I would suggest to you, Jushiro, trying this out for funsies.
Yeah, I will.
I would suggest to you doing it, and then maybe we can do something. I don't know. There's like a, I think there's a mission for the Festival Plaza that involves it later on in the year. So definitely check it out then, if any time. So
I'll definitely try it for sure.
It's gonna be a blast. I'm so excited. Just appreciate it and just like tweet Junichi Masuda and be like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't think he did too much with this game. I think Omori was producing it and they had a new director, but Just tell Masuda that you're very thankful and he should put it in the Pokemon game for the Switch, because I think he's working on that one.
He better. But let's just go at it and talk about the elephant in the room. We should not dance around this. The best thing in that trailer by none are the stickers.
Mantine Surf wasn't in that trailer.
It wasn't the only trailer that matters.
So you had the stickers. There's like remember the Korok seeds from Breath of the Wild? You could do it all over again. And so they have these stickers around.
How fun that was?
Not at all. And
that one coworker at work that gets excited for icebreakers, and you're like, stop, just I don't want to do this.
The thing that's interesting is, I mean, I did wish to some extent that I could get the totem Pokemon in Sun and Moon. Like, I wish there was an option to do something with that. They did bring it, but in the form of collectible totem stickers that you go around and collect. If they do Zygarde cells again in addition to this, it's going to drive me crazy.
I better not.
There seems to be hints. We can talk about it later in the trailer. But so we had these totem stickers that actually give you totem Pokemon. We don't know how many of them are actually in the game. We're assuming, you know, all 8 to some extent, maybe. Some of them look to be version exclusive. I believe the Lurantis and the – I might be wrong. The Lurantis, I believe, was confirmed to be version exclusive, as well as the Salazzle.
And you can only have those 8? I thought it was like turn any Pokemon to a totem one.
No. It's certain Pokemon. Like, you collect X amount of stickers, and then you get to go retrieve it. If that makes sense.
Has there been any official word on, like, if those totem Pokemon that you get, are they going to be, like, are they going to have the totem raised stat sort of thing? Or is it just...
I don't know if they're going to have totem raised stats, because I feel like that's just adding a lot to the mix in terms of, like, competitive battle. You'd have to ban them to some extent.
Right.
But I don't think there is. Let me double check the press release. I don't think there is, though.
Okay.
Because there's
I can't catch up anymore. We got evolution.
If there's another one, I think the totems, I think the only thing that's different is the aesthetics.
Yeah, I hope so, because it's hard to keep up with so many things that you can use.
That would be awful, right? Like, yeah, that would just be absolutely. Let me look it up. I got the Pokemon thing loading.
It's like everyone has to carry a mega a Pokemon that can mega evolve now. Everyone has to carry a Pokemon that can do a C move, and now everyone has to carry a Pokemon that is a freaking
so
Pokemon.
I would like to argue that you're wrong to some extent. Okay. Competitively, I don't think so. I think a lot of the Alolan Pokemon made mega Pokemon not as important. Mega Pokemon are not always important to a team anymore. Before Gen 6, I would argue yes, you should probably have a mega. In Gen 7, no, you don't need a Mega. It's not entirely necessary. It helps sometimes. Sometimes your team comp allows you to have one, and that's fine. Use it. Z moves on the other as well. I think Z moves are not as game changing as what's it called? As Mega Pokemon were.
Megas, yeah.
Z moves were a nice like festooning to Pokemon. Like you can definitely get like if you're just like, man, I wish this Pokemon could get like this much more damage out, right?
Yeah.
Z moves, great idea. But there's so many ways, especially if you're a newer player, to misplay those Z moves.
Yeah.
That I don't think it's got that big of a change on the meta. And so that's my big kick out of it. But what's really great is Gen 7 kind of made Mega Evolution and Z moves kind of the same to that extent as well, like in their usefulness, which is, it's a weird balancing act. But let me see if I can find these. There's nothing about the totem Pokemon in the Pokemon section. What is this? Maybe it's in the cool features section. Yep, there it is. You'll be able to get huge totem-like Pokemon for your team based on how many stickers you've collected. It'll surely shock your opponents to see you're using these oversized totem-like Pokemon in battle. The totem-like Pokemon you can get as allies can differ based on whether you're playing Ultra Sun or Ultra Moon. For example, you can get Lurantis in Ultra Sun or Salazzle in Ultra Moon. Search every corner of Alola region and collect masses of totem stickers. So I have no idea how many totem Pokemon there are, but it sounds like it's literally just these Pokemon are bigger.
Okay. Sounds good.
Which is sad, because you want bigger. You want more, but...
I mean, no. That's the thing. I want them to do less things that
I think it's more of just like an aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
I think it's just very aesthetic.
Why would they work on this aesthetic when they should be... making it so the Pokemon can follow behind you? That's what I want to know.
Okay.
Real questions asked.
Oh, man. Basket, I don't think I have enough time this episode to tell you why you're wrong. And so,
there is nothing wrong with it. There is nothing wrong with it.
So I would like
right with it either.
I would like So I say back in that pixel art, yes, I agree. I don't know why Gen 5 didn't have that. Gen 5, it would have been cool to just keep it in there. It probably would have gone way better than Gen 5 did. And the problem I have with it, though, is if we look at if we go to Gen 6 and Gen 7 now, we're in 3D. And so having these Pokemon, like before, yeah, you can have a little Onix that fits in the square, and that's fine. Your imagination goes wild. But now if you have like a baby mini Onix falling behind you because it can only fill up so many squares, you're going to notice it's unrealistic. Second, I think they did a fantastic job looking at all of the trailers we have so far for Sun and Moon, or Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, not Sun and Moon, but they have integrated more Pokemon into the environments.
Yeah.
And I think that is a good compromise.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us are going to appreciate it, especially once we get our hands on the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, we'll know next week. Maybe I'll think it's garbage, but...
I'm just saying.
We'll know.
In a trailer, I saw Hal running up to you with his Litten behind you, and I don't get that. So why does Hal get that and I don't?
Because he's got to get something, bud. Okay.
he does
need something. He's basically not packed in everything else, so.
He literally, like, he's literally the worst rival. He constantly admits how much better you are than him all of the time. Like, that's a defining character trait of Hal.
Okay. I cannot believe I'm about to defend Hal right now. But he is not the worst rival, all right?
You're right.
A plethora of horrible rivals. Way too many. They're like, we can't come up with a good idea for a rival. So let's just throw 8 of them at you, and then maybe one will stick.
It's like, oh.
You're so right, though. You're so right. That's the problem. Like, who cares about Tierno? You know what's worse is Tierno and Hal do the same thing in the TCG. And then that should tell you something. And then you had what's the other kid's name? Trevor.
Yeah.
Who was just like,
Trevor was the only one that I didn't absolutely hate.
No, right?
And it was like, the only one that you only battled once, I think, or twice only.
You only battled him like twice. It was just the same thing with like Tierno. He was always with Tierno, and you barely had any encounters with them. That was the problem with their concept in Gen 6.
Yeah.
Their concept in Gen 6 was, you're on this journey with like all of these companions and stuff like that. And it's just like, no, I'm not. There are not nearly enough interactions with these people. It would have meant more if they would have, like, in every town you're in, they're also in that town at the same time.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, just keeping their character models there, right?
They never shut up every time you see them.
Oh, my gosh. God. You're really excited.
You're really excited to go to the next town or into the gym or just go figure out what the heck these horde battle things are all about. And then they pop up and they yell at you for an hour and then tell you what you should already know. Like, and then
they're like the friends from your hometown you never want to go back and see.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's literally what they are too.
X and Y was the game that like I did not replay that game probably more than twice. I think I beat it twice, and I tried to multiple times afterwards, like after I had played the crap out of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, I was like, well, you know, I don't remember a whole lot about it. I'm going to try it out again. That was a fun game. And then I start out and immediately right when they start trying to give me a nickname, I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I stayed away from this game the entire time.
You can make them call you some really inappropriate things as your nickname though.
Yeah.
And that's the best part.
That's the best part.
So, like, let's take a moment and appreciate that feature. All right. We'll wrap it up there, though. Trailer, though, showed some amazing things. Oh, wait. There's one thing I wanted to talk about beforehand. They look like they're bringing back that feature from Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire where they let you catch all of the legendaries in one game again.
Yeah.
So that's nice, I guess. It confirms that Lando
for the soft resets.
Oh my gosh! Right. To be fair, it's way better with bottle caps now.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about IV so much. The only thing you have to worry about are natures and hidden powers. And natures are pretty easy to take care of if you synchronize. And hidden powers are the only headache. But now that you have bottle caps, hidden powers aren't as difficult.
Yeah,
and I think there's only like a couple useful ones anyway. So it all works out.
So then if you so the bottle cap thing with hidden powers, if you bottle cap them to whatever hidden power thing you want.
You can't bottle cap to a hidden power you want. So the bottle caps are an artificial layer of stats on top of your Pokemon.
Right. Yeah.
So they still have like, so say you have like a 13 IV in attack. If you use a bottle cap, yeah, the stat will look like it has a 31 in it. But that Pokemon still has a 13 IV in attack.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. So that's how the hidden power things work. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking you were going to have to waste like 2 bottle caps just to like get the hidden power and then go back and then actually get the stat increase that you wanted.
No. No. So that's how hidden power works. Like you still have like the IVs, the DNA of the Pokemon.
Right. Okay.
And then you just give the bottle caps and it gives you an artificial raise.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was really revolutionary for a couple of reasons. One is hidden power fire. You always are required to have a 30 IV in speed to have hidden power fire Fun fact, like the way the calculations work, you have to have a 30 IV in speed. So you could never get a max speed Hidden Power Fire Pokemon until now. Because you can just bottle cap it, and then you still have Hidden Power Fire, and now you're at max speed. So
that's awesome.
Munch on that.
So, yeah, Pokemon cards are made of carton, and they have instructions. You play the card, you read what it does, and that's the extent of how you have to manage in the TCG. Because all this background stat stuff from the VG is ridiculous.
It's way better than it used to be. It's way better. Like, oh, yeah. You don't even know how easy it is compared to, like, I played back in Gen 4. Okay? I've got a back in Gen 4 moment. Yeah, there's a bingo card. Back in Gen 4, there was no way to control your IVs. The only thing you had control over was, like, nature, and that was only slightly. Because there was, like, they raised it to 100% finally, but it used to be, like, 50% chance of not getting the nature you wanted with Everstone and breeding. And, oh my gosh. Like, it used to be absolutely awful. I remember trying to breed Pokemon, and I gave up trying to breed, like, perfect IVs, because it eventually got to the point where I would just breed, like, three boxes worth of a Pokemon, and I would just be like, okay, you're the best one, and then just give up. Because I'm just like, I'm not sitting here for years, and like that Pokemon would have like 28s and like 27s and stuff like that. Never, like, barely ever. Like, if I had a 31, I like lost my mind.
This is why I appreciate breeders.
Oh man, it used to be real bad. Now it's way easier. Like, now you can, within like 3 hours, I can breed you the Pokemon end result that you want. You know? Nice. And so, like, back then, if I would have seen that happening in the future now, I probably would have never played competitive. but that's where we're going to wrap it up here, guys. Go ahead, Basket.
I was just going to ask a total newbie question.
Yeah.
So if you have perfect IVs in the stats that you want and everything like that, and then you but you're at level 50, do you have to go to all the way to level 100 before you actually get all of the points that you need?
Define that. Like, are you talking about like effort values and stuff like that?
No, I'm talking,
because effort values now change even in between in between battles.
Yeah,
that got changed finally.
If I'm level 50, if I have a level 50 Salamence that I've already maxed out in speed and attack, then do I have to, like, will that level 50 Salamence on the battle spot be just as powerful as
a level 100 with the same EVs? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Cool.
Because that Salamence is going to be lowered down to level 100 or level 50 anyway on the battle spot. Yeah. So.
Right, but I didn't know if like you had to go through all of your
you don't
level levels those stats. You know what I mean? And then
You don't have to.
No, you only need to be level 100 for the bottle caps.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, you don't have to be all the way to level 100. So we're gonna wrap up the topic right there, guys. We're gonna take a short break, go to commercial, and then we'll come right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. So we will catch you on the flip-flop.
Is your bird Pokemon tired? Did you break your Ian flute, but still need to, I don't know, go home and visit your mother? Well then, you can try Flygolark to fly safely and quickly across the globe. Flygolark, because legs aren't everything.
Pokemon the episode.
And welcome back to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 279, Pelipper, the water bird Pokemon.
Gathering food is the work of young males. They store food in their capacious beaks and carry it back to others waiting in its nest.
Is capacious the right word for that? I'm not saying it's on you, Jushiro.
I know that I get extra points because I think I pronounced that correctly.
I think you did as well.
Jashiro gets an extra point in the ladder.
Yeah, like that's an impressive, like, I didn't know that was a word, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, I understand, like, because I think they're trying to be like, yeah, it has a large capacitance. And it's just like, okay.
Capacious.
Let me see how to say this. Capacious. That is exactly how you pronounce it, by the way.
Wow. Never seen the word in my life, and where would you pronounce it right?
Yeah, neither have I. So, in English is my first language.
I didn't even bother to read the Pokedex entry in Pelipper when I got it in the game.
All right, so Pelipper actually got a lot of nice things this gen. A lot of nice things. So, first, it gets a stat boost to its special attack. Its special attack, it used to be a base 85, now it's base 95. That is actually a significant difference. That is actually the place where it starts to matter. When you go from an 85 to a 95, that is big. The other thing is, Pelipper also picked up a new ability. It no longer, it got a new ability in Drizzle.
Yeah.
So, every weather setting ability got a new user this generation. We got Drizzle for Pelipper. We got, Sandstorm one, whatever that, Sandstream in Gigalith. We got Drought and Torkoal. And yes, we got Snow Warning in Ninetales. Alolan Ninetales. Yeah. Everybody else just like got a new ability, and then we got Alolan Ninetales. So but this is a huge one because rain is actually a really good weather condition right now. Weather used to be a huge problem back in Gen 5 because it used to never end when it's set by something like Drizzle.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was a huge problem.
It was a huge problem. There was talks about banning weather and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's a bit more balanced now. And Pelipper, I would argue, is one of the best Drizzle Pokemon outside of, like, Kyogre. But Kyogre doesn't count. So because you have Politoed as your other option. It's either Politoed or Pelipper. Take your pick. And yeah, if it were me, I'd pick Pelipper because you get a ground resist. Yes, you might be weak to electric, but Politoed is weak to electric last time I checked. So you don't want to Drizzle around electric types. Unless it's Heliolisk, by the way, because it gets dry skin.
Not to say Drizzle and not go to places in my mind, but yes.
we have horrible minds. Pelipper, though, I believe it's probably UU. Let me double check. I forgot to pull that page up before I started. Pelipper in Sun and Moon, it is OU. Pelipper is OU. Wow. This is based on usage, mind you, not because of how good it is, but I mean, that kind of ties in together.
Yeah.
Also like has a problem with rain right now because, in my opinion, Mega Swampert is a huge abuser of rain.
Mm-hmm.
So Mega Swampert gets Swift Swim, and with the new Mega Evolution, all of the new Mega Evolution mechanics where you get the speed boost right away.
Yeah,
makes Mega Swampert phenomenal because he can have a 500 base speed when he comes out the gate. Wow. And coupled with, I believe, like a base like 120, 150 attack, it's huge. It's just going to hurt you. You're going to have a problem.
Yeah, and I think the only Pokemon that like that didn't benefit from it going to Mega first was Sableye because it can't.
Yeah.
It can't prankster. Yeah, it can't prankster once it evolves.
Yeah, no, it's just nuts how much it can do. Pelipper setting up rain, first of all, you just give it a damp rock. I actually run rain as like a on stream. If some kid's like being cocky in the chat or something like that before they battle me, I run rain. Like I have a rain team made just in case that happens because if you do not come prepared for rain, you are going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
Like that is where Pokemon is. Like if you don't bring like a Tangrowth on your team, you're going to have a bad time.
Why Tangrowth?
Tangrowth is one of like the few Pokemon that can actually wall it really well. Mm. Tangrowth will OKO your Mega Swampert because grass type stab. Quadruple, it's also bulky enough that it'll take any move from Mega Swampert.
Interesting.
It is because when you want to counter something, you need something they can do where like the max that a Pokemon can do to you is a 3-hit KO, right? Mm. And so Mega Swampert can only 3-hit KO Tangrowth, and you have the regenerator ability, so you can keep that going, right? And Tangrowth is Tangrowth is the answer. Run some Tangrowth.
Yep. So, cocky guys on the chat that are listening to this podcast right now, bring your Tangrowth.
Those are typically the people who don't listen to our podcast. But the way to do it, though, like on top of that, developer also gets access to the move Hurricane, which gives a 100% accuracy. It's a 70% accuracy move outside of rain, 100% in rain. It's flying type thunder. And yeah, so Pelipper gets access to that. It sets up its own rain and it clicks Hurricane, right? It's huge. It gets stab Hurricane in the rain.
Wow.
On top of that, Pelipper is one of the few Pokemon up until hopefully we get a Defog move tutor that gets Defog, so it can do hazard removal. It gets Scald in the rain once again. So it gets a boost from the rain and a boost from stab, and it's Scald, and that's going to hurt. With your base 95 special attack. Pelipper is a good Pokemon. I mean, the only thing holding it back really is its 65 speed.
But Whoever thought since its debut in Gen 3 that we would be talking good things about Pelipper?
Dude, I can only say good things about Pelipper right now. If you talked to me back like 2 years ago, I would have been like, why are we doing Pelipper? This is garbage. But I mean, the big thing is he got Drizzle. Like, he got Drizzle, and that just changes everything.
And the extra boost in its special attack.
Yeah, and that changes a lot. It makes Pelipper a good Pokemon, and he can pair well with a lot of rain teams. Rain teams are big. It's really easy to use. Yep. Shamu and I dislike them to an extent because they're very what we like to call helmet. In terms of you can just do the strategy that you have in your mind. It takes no thought process, and you can just win. And this works on the Showdown ladder until about like 1450, 1500. You can just play rain. And you will get up the ladder incredibly fast.
Nice.
One of the things I started running just for funsies to get around this has been Mega Sceptile. But like I said, if you want to run Pelipper, I am all for any set you can ever come up with, honestly.
Wow.
I would say 252 attack, 252 speed maybe. If you don't want the speed, put it in HP.
He has decent defense too.
Yeah, he's got a decent, oh, yeah, you could put some bulk into him as well. You can run Scald, Hurricane. I think those are huge moves to use. And then he gets access to U-Turn. And if you just want to keep setting up that rain, U-Turn's the way to go.
Yeah.
You also have access to Roost and Defog. I would use either of those. Probably Roost if you really want to have longevity with Pelipper. But Defog is a great hazard removal option, though it will take 25% from rocks.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. I mean, it's good. Pelipper has a TCG card, though. Jushiro, you want to tell me about how bad it is?
Well, after you just spent so much time praising good old Pelipper, I have to bring it down because there's only one card in standard right now from Sun and Moon Pelipper. It's a stage 1, 100 HP, water, of course. It has two attacks. Courier, using two double colorless, puts one of your bench Pokemon and all cards attached to it in your hand. That's why we have
Alola. It's called an Acerola.
Acerola, sorry, that's what I meant to say. That's why we have that. And Super Scoop Up also.
Yeah, Super Scoop Up does that.
And then there's Fly, which is one water, two colorless, 60 damage. Flip a coin. Fun. It started great. Nothing. It has the effects of attacks, including damage done to this Pokemon during your opponent's next turn. So
this all sounds so bad. Oh my god.
It is bad. It's weak to electric, of course, and resistant to fighting, and has retreat cost of 1. Possibly the only good thing that I just mentioned there is the retreat cost of 1.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And it's water, so there's Manaphy, so they didn't even need it.
This just goes back to my theory that like 95% of Pokemon cards are just absolute garbage.
They're getting better, though. They are getting better.
To some extent. I think you will see a lot more cards in play just because now we're seeing GXs as opposed to EXs, right? We'll see how this works out with the new Prism mechanic. We'll see. It's just like, hey, we brought back EX Pokemon, but we made them worse.
Let us see how that works.
That's the Prism mechanic in a nutshell. All right. So that's Pelipper for you. It's the Pokemon of the episode. Basket.
Explain the Prism mechanic?
No. You guys can talk about it later this week on the TCG.
Yeah, we'll cover it at DCG.
Yeah, I like dropping little references to let people know that I still understand all aspects of Pokemon. So, So that is going to be it for the Pokemon of the episode. If you want to check out more awesome Pokemon stuff, check out PucklePodcast.com, where you can see all of the awesome articles on all things Pokemon. So we're going to...
And the Cassus course, if you're interested in how prison works.
Exactly. And we're just going to leave that on a cliffhanger there. So that is it for this Pokemon of the episode. We are going to take a... We're going to kick it on over, I guess, to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails! Your mail's here! Check your inbox! It's time for the mailbag!
And welcome to the mailbag. As always, the mailbag is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
I love that they're just always so delayed. and so we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about that. We're going to read some listener emails. This is the segment of the show where you can just email pucklepodcast@gmail.com and get your email read on the show. We like interacting with our listeners this way, and I hope you like interacting with us this way. It reminds me of that. I almost said it in a way that reminded me of School of Rock. Remember at the end where he's just like, I'm not a real teacher, but your kids touched me and I touched them too. And I almost said it in a way where like, send us in an email where you touch our hearts and we touch you too. And I'm just like, no, probably shouldn't say it like that. Though I just did. So we haven't read emails for 2 weeks on the show because we had a special episode last week where I essentially took a week off. And I want to get to some emails that we saw. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them today. We did skip over a few people. So I really need to come up with a way to like get those people recognized. I really need to write an article or something or have somebody write an article for me that actually highlights the emails that I've missed. Because there are a ton of things that like – sometimes there will be like 10 good emails in a week. And the problem is I can't read 10 emails.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to the ones that we can today. And if we miss yours, I apologize. And just smack me in the face or send an email next week and I'll make sure that everybody else gets passed up for you. So actually next week we won't have a mailbag because we're doing the live show. But the week after that we will. So our first email is going to be from the Aussie camper Dooley. Firstly, I'd say that with Sun and Moon, I'd say Sun and Moon did well. Last week, our mailbag question was, how do you think Sun and Moon did, and are you excited for Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon? So I apologize for skipping that ahead. No context. Firstly, I'd say that Sun and Moon did well was just creating something different. I'm a self-confessed Gen 2-er. I love gym badges and Team Rocket, but eventually through playing up to X and Y, honestly, I was getting bored of the Pokemon format. The changes in Sun and Moon and this podcast has reignited my love for and wallet for Pokemon. Ooh, wallets.
Thank you and sorry?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you and sorry. Exactly. The poor things of the game was the lack of rivals and evil teams with a good story. I thought this one was great. What?
Yeah.
Lack of rivals and evil teams.
Team
okay.
Skull and
we saw what it was like with too many rivals.
Yeah.
Now we're not don't have enough rivals. Let's calm down. to be fair, our one rival was just obsessed with Malasada. That was his biggest enemy.
Yeah.
Diabetes. So the Poképelago is by far the most pointless thing ever. Oh my gosh, it is not the pointless thing ever. It has so many good things in it.
I went to a whole scenario in my mind when you go back to Sun and Moon and how has died. Diabetes. So bad.
That's terrible.
Continue.
I'm a 24-year-old adult and electrical engineer, and I literally can't figure out how to use its full capabilities, and apparently these games are for kids. yes and no. Yes and no. It does take some ingenuity to figure out, but there are ways to like exploit it.
I defeated the Elite Four, but I can't defeat diabetes.
Gosh dang it.
Dude,
stop it
right now.
Stop it.
Sorry.
I must say,
I'm
Thatch.
So sorry.
I must say, Thatch, I don't agree it's Hawaii with Pokemon. To me, it's what I've always wanted to play on the Orange Islands, hence the strangely colored Pokemon post-Kanto in the anime. And yes, that's what I think will drop in you some. Post-game, you go to the Orange Islands and get the 6 badges. So, a lot of things wrong with that sentence. I mean, I love that he said it in an email. I love it. I don't want to give that wrong. So I don't think you're going to go to the Orange Islands. That's an anime-only area, and they're going to keep it that way. I think in spirit, the best thing we got was the Sevi Islands in Leaf Green and Fire Red. I don't think we're ever going to get that. Second of all, there weren't 6 badges there. There were 4. So, boom.
Yeah, no one cares. Continue on, please.
That's my team. Not our listener?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm so sorry. That's why Team Rocket is there, and Lieutenant Surge has moved his gym to the Orange Islands. That's just my crazy theory. I still think, cheers, guys, Aussie Camper Dooley.
Aussie Camper, first I want to say right here, I am going to, after I hang up, I'm going to donate to the diabetes. Boss. Hang on, I'm going to donate.
He didn't say the diabetes thing. I said diabetes.
I know, but we took it hard. So guys, calm down. I'm going to donate some money as soon as we hang up this.
I want a receipt.
You got to show the receipt. Yeah. So, but I think we're going to get this facility with the Kanto stuff in it. That's what I think. I don't know what's going on with that. And I think we're just going to get like some kind of facility with Kanto in it, with Kanto like gyms or something like that. Yeah. That's my two cents. All right. So
Kanto in it because I'm a freak out.
With Kantoian gyms.
Well, there's a small little spoiler going around, so but I'll tell you guys after that.
All right. So the next one is from, I believe, Alexander Blue. And I think Jushiro's got this one.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Alexander Blue. I'm kind of going my way.
Mailbag. That's the subject.
Yes, there we go. Hey, Thatch and Co. I've been a listener for about a year now, and I love your podcast, so I thought it was about time I write in. Good for you, man. Thank you. It says, anyways, I played since Gen 1, but I've never been a competitive player and would like to take a swing at the next summer league. Any tips for a new guy? Onto the mailbag.
I think we're going to talk about that in a week on Battlecast, actually.
There we go.
Also, I have a tip for him. Mega Salamence with
it's not in OU. If he wants to play in the summer, he can't use it.
Bring it anyways. Nobody will notice.
Oh, this is derailed so hard. Onto the mailbag. Alola was way too much Hawaii for sure. I liked Hyper Training and the Alolan forms. Ultra Beasts were great, and the Rai Pokemon were excellent. I want to. Everything you said there was fine, except the Ultra Beasts. I'm still in the I don't like the Ultra Beasts camp.
Just wait. They're going to grow on you. They grew on me real hard. I really like what they did. They actually did a recent interview with Omori and who's the new guy? Not Iwata.
Sure. I forget.
There's the new director of this game, because that's how they do Pokemon games. They usually take the old director and make him the producer for like these second games.
That's how they get
like,
too.
Yeah, that's how they get like their step up and everything. So, they had an interview with them though, and they were asking them about Ultra Beasts. And the big thing was they're just like, yeah, how did you come up with the designs for those, stuff like that? And like, so Ken Sugimori still does all of the artwork and design, and it's like head of Pokemon design forever. Yeah. When Ken Sugimori dies, I feel like Pokemon is over. And
yeah,
so,
I'll say that.
Yeah, which is sad to think about. I mean, maybe we'll still get Pokemon. Who knows?
And oh, we will.
We will. They're just going to. It's a huge franchise. So,
we will. How far off have Tom Clancy died? And we still get books and games out of him.
But they did an interview and they said what they did was they broke the rules of Pokemon design for the Ultra Beasts. Okay, and it's really cool to think that they had like such a consistent like framework for that, such that they could make designs that really bothered us, right?
Yeah. And that's the main thing when I see the Ultra Beasts, they're sore. They're like,
okay. So I like after I read that interview though, like I came to like a respect that they've had such a consistency with Pokemon designs to make me go, that doesn't look like a Pokemon. You know what I mean? Because what they used to do is they would always give the characteristic traits of real life animals to real life
or
animals.
Things. Yeah.
You know, like, so like you have cutie fly. Yeah. You see a little fly, right? Oh, that's cute. Right. So mm-hmm. you get cutie fly. So you get something that, yeah, that's a Pokemon, right? That's a trait of a fly that you would, yeah. something that you would give a fly a trait of, right?
Yeah.
For Ultra Beast, they did the opposite, right? They took a mosquito, something that's like pretty harmless, unless you're talking about like West Nile. And yeah. We shouldn't start on that one. And
we did enough with diabetes.
Yeah. And so, but they take something like that and then they make it real buff and real strong, just like Buzzwole. In the case of Buzzwole. Yeah. And so, like, it's these two contradicting elements that they put together to make them feel like not Pokemon, essentially.
Yeah, like they're not from this world.
Exactly. And so, I mean, good on them. Like, I have just, like, I have a huge appreciation for it after I read that interview.
Well, it kind of did move the needle for me a bit, too. So, yeah. Thank you for that. Now, continue on the email. The lack of a Battle Frontier and PSS was thoroughly disappointing. Also, I feel having a room decoration like silver and gold would be good. And a choice of two or three ride Pokemon for variety would be nice. Anyways, trying to keep this short. Alexander Blue, PS, hashtag Puckle, turning it up to 11.
Yes.
And hashtag Umbreon for press and hashtag hooves.
The turn it up to 11 was a joke. It's not Puckle 11 yet, guys. Okay. Not until December 31st. It's still hashtag Puckle 10. Then when the new year comes, that's when we roll it over.
In reference to what he said, what Alexander Blue said at the very last of the email, I've always wanted, me being a Pokemon fan and being a fan of the Harvest Moon series, I've always wanted to incorporate you having your little house where you can do the berry harvesting and like decorate the whole place and just have your little base.
But you kind of had that in Gen 6, the berry harvesting, essentially.
Yeah.
But
yeah, kind of.
All right. So, Basky, grab this next one from Red X.
All right.
His email topic is also mailbag. go
Hello,
ahead.
One and all. Is it me, or does it seem like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are giving the 3DS one heck of a final Pokemon game? I am more excited for this game than I was for Sun and Moon. Anyway, that's it. Hashtag Puckle10. Hashtag It's the Final Countdown.
It's the Final Countdown.
You totally read a different one.
Really? Really? No, no. No guitar? No one joined in with a guitar solo? You guys are disgusting.
All right. So I'll grab this next one from, I believe, Knight Rider. Here we go. Hello again, Thatch and Co. I'm writing in again to answer the next mailbag question. And I think the newest Pokemon movie was incredible. Oh, I asked about the Pokemon movie, if people liked it and saw it. You guys missed out, by the way. You could have come to Columbus, Ohio and saw it with me. I'm sure that's really close for both of you. It has taken
just $500
plane ticket. But yeah, I think it's cheaper if you fly Frontier, by the way. Okay, except you have to like pay for carry-ons.
Now I'm going to Chicago in December to watch Hamilton, so I can't wait.
Ooh. Okay, I'll go back to the email. It has taken Pokemon Heroes spot as my favorite Pokemon movie. It had many great things going for it, but the best scene, in my humble opinion, was right before Ash got blown up. Throughout 20 seasons of Pokemon, the issue of Ash's Pikachu and the Pokeball came up enough times to convince me that he will never get in the ball, and even saw what happened when someone tried to force him into it.
Ash gets blown up in the movie?
Okay, this movie's really intense, Basket. There's like another Pika-Jesus moment, and it's weird. After the shock... Yeah. After the shock of hearing Pikachu speak, seeing Pikachu recall to the Pokeball was just as shocking on top of that. The question of why he never wants to be in the Pokeball was answered. That triple whammy of feels made the whole movie for me. As of today, Pikachu's words still echo in my head. That scene was done right, in my opinion. I wouldn't have had the same impact if Pikachu's reply didn't sound like it went through the same vocal cords. And that is it from Knight Rider.
So, since Thatch decided to skip you...
Oh, I totally
did. ...and take
did.
My email, I'm going to go ahead and read the...
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to go ahead and read his.
I don't have an outline today. You see what happens when I don't have an outline?
Red X says, "Hello, Thatch and other host Red X here. I've been on and off listening for a few years, mostly because of my busy job. But I recently moved from Ohio to Florida and have a little more time. But enough about me, onto the topic.
What I like is in Sun Moon was the story. You thought for a Pokemon game, it was excellent. It also, I also liked the Alolan forms and the Ray Rice pager.
What? What?
The right wrist pager. I think he's talking about the
okay. The ride pager.
Right. Oh, there we go. Yeah, missed.
That's okay. The typo. There's the typo. The D is right next to the S.
Yeah. gone are the awful days of HM slaves. Finally, they've been abolished. This episode. What I didn't like was the long opening.
Just finish the email. Make it through.
Head holding in the Rotom Dex. Well, that's all for now. Catch you on the flip flop, Fred XPS. That enjoy those long Ohio winters. I know I won't miss them.
Man, I used to be in worse winters, so it's fine. I appreciate and welcome my Ohio winter.
Yeah.
All right. I'm so sorry, Basket. Let's finish this up with an email from Shira.
I just want to say that I thought I couldn't have. Made more people angry than I did the episode that I said.
I don't think the diabetes thing is like bad. So
it's a combination, then.
Yeah.
But for all those of you that are still mad that I told, you know, if you're from UK, you're basically from. I even forgot the region's name. What was it? Gen 6?
I don't know.
No, France? Gen 6.
France.
No, but the actual Calus. Name of the region. Calus. I was saying that they're the Kalos gentlemen. I just want to say from the deep of my heart for all those that really got upset, I'm standing back. I'm going to keep saying you guys are from Kalos. Anyway, continue on.
All right.
This one's from Shira. I love Shira. She's great.
Hi, Thatch and Marvelous co-hosts. It's been a while, but I wanted to say thank you so much for the team review on the Battlecast. I unfortunately made a mistake on one of the moves on Mandibuzz, which was cause for confusion. It did not have Defog, but Tailwind for support.
I think
I'll definitely take your
advice
about the EV spreads. Maybe it would be nice to insert suggested EV spreads as a comment on the episode so it's very readable for all to try.
One day.
It's a bit late
like
now,
work.
But... it's a bit late now, but I did really... Yeah. But I did release the team as QR code, and you can find it attached if you'd like to try it out or share it.
I can't on anymore. Note, Global Link's down.
Yeah, it's too late. Sorry. On a high note, I reached my goal for VGC 17, which was to reach 1,700 plus rating on championship battles on BattleSpot. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's actually number one in the region, too.
Dorang!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the format is closing.
What
so
am I
I'm
doing
quite...
with my life?
It has been difficult, but a great challenge. I'm already struggling massively by trying to design a team for VGC 18. I just can't find a Mega I like, but I've landed on Mega Sceptile so far. I'm determined to play with my favorite Pokemon this season, Glaceon. The Z-Ice move, Sub-Zero Slammer, is base 185 power based off Blizzard. That is even higher than Laylee's Shattered Psyche, not taking the psychic terrain into account, though. About
was
the topic of
Pokemon, or is changing subject to physics?
No, this is psychic terrain. Oh, okay. Tapu Lele sets a terrain that like prevents priority.
I'm
it's fantastic.
I'm kidding. It's just
I'm
a bad
you,
joke.
Shiro, you gotta get into the VGC, man.
I have to.
You don't have to be good at it. Just get into it.
That's my motto for everything in life. Anyway, continue on.
All right, about the topic of good and bad things about Sun and Moon. Good things. The Pokemon Pelago. I use it so much. I didn't like the uncertainty, of the new form of EV training from SOS battles. So I only use the island to EV train. Oh, that is a mistake. So I'm certain to get the correct EVs. I also hatched so many eggs on the Hot Spring Island. So shiny hatching is nice, since they are ready to hatch once I return from work. Graphics and design are so pretty. The wild Pokemon sounds, it's a great idea. The Battle Royale is fun. Bad things. It's very hard to find a good level place. I imagine place to level.
Mm-hmm.
I really missed the Battle Chateau, which was amazing. The Festival Plaza is very limited depending on versions. You can't get certain things if you have Sun, for example. Also, like you've already said, it is hard to find your friends and players.
Yes, and let me just say, second round playing Moon, I spent no time on the festival. The moment I got into it, it was eye-rolling for me. It's like, I can't stand this place.
The first time that I actually did anything on the Festival Plaza, and this is no joke, was 2 or 3 days ago when Shamu traded me some Pokemon. That was the first time I spent any amount of time there, because I got there and I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah. Nope. Big old nope. Hashtag nope. Get out of here.
You're not wrong.
He's got more bad things, though. I missed some more items for trainer customization. I like to dress my character in a coat when going to the icy snow areas, but there's no boots or coats in Sun and Moon, so I missed that from X and Y.
Hmm.
Not interact much with the environment, like sitting down and such. It's a small thing, but still fun to do.
No, that irked me to no end. Why? Okay, so why did they take that one thing out? I mean,
how many times did you sit on a bench anywhere?
A lot of times, dude.
I didn't even know you could do that.
You can't in Sun and Moon. You can't. I mean, fine, you can now bend over when you're talking to small kids, but I don't care about that.
I actually enjoy that feature. Because it's like, oh, you're cute.
Oh, I'm going to destroy you with my giant Mega Salamence. Which you won't notice while I play it.
Yes. She didn't like there were no horde battles, a very limited dex, and the rotation and triple battles are gone. Which she really wants back.
There's so many reasons why those are gone. Yeah. One, nobody played them. They weren't very competitive. And they strain the 3DS so much.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a video online of X and Y, or even Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, running a triple battle with 6 Moltres. Go watch that. Because Moltres has so many little details that go on at the same time that it lags so bad. It goes down to like 5 frames per second.
Dang.
Like, no joke. It's garbage. And that's why they used to have 3D in the battles in X and Y, I believe. And if you turn the 3D on, that like the same effect would happen. That's why in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, there's no 3D in the battles.
Yeah. No 3D, I think, anywhere.
Yeah. It's absolutely awful. But that is it for the mailbag this week, guys. Thank you so much for sending that in. I'm really looking forward to hearing about what your hype for Sun and Moon is, and what Sun and Moon or Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon is, and what your thoughts are when the game comes out. We're not going to read emails next week, but we will the episode after that, which is going to be pre-recorded. So as soon as you can, write us an email, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon and how hyped you are for that.
Yeah. So, but before we do that, do you think anyone here deserves the Green Tower spec?
I don't know who has it. I lost track.
I really like Shira, so...
Shira already has it.
Yeah.
I'm certain. Shira already has it. You know what? We'll give it to Shira, and then she just doesn't tell me if she already has it. And that's how this works. Shira, go ahead, submit for the Green Tourist Badge on the website. All yours. Done. So let me do my social media spiel real quick. So if you want more Puckle goodness in your life, you can email us at PucklePodcast@gmail.com, and you can tell us what your thoughts on Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon are, and how hype you are for that. We will more than likely read it on the show in 2 weeks, so that'd be episode 314. And also, don't forget to check out all of the other things if you can't wait until then. First of all, TCG Cast comes out on Thursday. You'll be able to find out about these things if you follow PucklePodcast.com, where you can find links to our Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Reddit.
Since for the few times that I haven't recorded before, I actually record with Thatch, we're recording on Tuesday, so any emails, guys, once you hear this, send your emails and we'll read them for the podcast.
You have a ton of them already. I can actually see them all. But we're going to also do check out Jushiro and myself on Twitch, twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. Like I said, that's where we're going to be doing the live show next week at 2 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. That's the place to catch it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a blast. Exactly. And then if you want to, check out our YouTube, youtube.com/PucklePodcast. We have a blast there as well. Gotten a Marshadow code. Puckle has become abundant with about 80-some Marshadow codes now. So if you missed that Marshadow code, please contact us. That is a great way to get a Marshadow code. And finally, if you want to help out Puckle in some kind of monetary way, there are two ways to do that. First, check out our new Tee Public store. The link is in the show notes down below. We would appreciate that. There's a ton of shirts there you can buy, and anything you buy there helps out Puckle. So it is a lot of fun. They are having a sale this week starting on the 13th. It is their pre-Black Friday sale. So check that out. I think everything's on sale for that. So definitely check that out. And on top of that, if you want, you can also help us out by donating to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. You can get a little extra change, jingle in your pockets, hand it over to Puckle. We would appreciate it.
Wow, hand that over sounded really like missed.
Huh? Not like that. Feed yourselves first, obviously. But I mean, if you want to help out the show, this is a great way to do it.
Yes.
So I believe that is
it. I believe there's in the works a few more milestones for that, right?
I'm working on it. It's just we have the tiers where we are, milestones. I believe the next one is at $300 a month, and yeah, we're pretty close to that. $300 a month, and yeah, I'm going to release episode 6.5 to the patrons. Episode 6.5. You want to hear Baby Thatch talk about Pokemon all by him his lonesome? That was like back before I knew how to podcast, and it's just like, and I tried to do like a solo podcast, and that was awful.
Sure, that was back when you didn't know how to do anything.
Yeah, no, like I hate doing it now. I can definitely do it if I need to. I could do a solo podcast, but yeah, man, I could just not do it at all back then. So if you want to hear that train wreck, $300 on the Patreon, that's the goal. We're pretty close to it, though. We're pretty close. So thank you to the patrons that we do have.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so that is going to be it.
We did it, guys!
Yeah, that's going to be it for this week. Check out all those things I just said. And I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Lord Yashiro, donator to the diabetes cause.
I'm Basket. Keep real, Puckle Peeps.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. And thank you to everyone for listening this far. Of course, as always, I would like to thank our patrons for making the show possible. So let's get started, shall we? Thank you to Regal Superior, 10 Little Men, Jonathan, Andrea, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Locke, Mongo87, Snag, Jushiro, Bosefus. What is his name? Oh my gosh, I didn't even start this properly. I'm just going to say it right now, Ryan, Seth Vilo, Minor Manetric, Greninja's in Paris, Claude9, Jeremy, TJ, John, Joshua, or R Sigma, Doc McStuffles, Jestern. We're going to go ahead and say Uncle Oshawott, Matthew, Trevor, Eric, Reuse, Zenth, Jesse, Birdkeeper, Cobra, Daniel, Traby, Matt, Greg, Christopher, Ozzy, Alex, the British Gent. We're also going to thank Victor, Nicholas, and Beaverlaw, and everybody else below that at our $1 tier. Thank you so much for making the show possible, because without you guys, it just wouldn't be possible. So thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for believing in us. And I can't wait to hook you guys up at the next Patreon live show, which should be in the near future. However, November is always a busy month for Puckle. So I will keep you guys in the loop. I will catch you on the flip-flop.